live from the Business Radio X studio inside Renaissance Bank, the bank that specializes in understanding you. It's time for North Fulton Business Radio.
Hello again, everyone. Welcome to another edition of North Fulton Business Radio. I'm John Ray, and folks, we are broadcasting as we always are, unless we're on the road, from inside Renaissance Bank in beautiful Alpharetta, right downtown, just south of downtown. And hey, folks, this is going to be a great show. Sean Lally is with us. He's with BizPay Pros, and he's going to talk to us about all things payments processing. If you receive payments in your business, you need to listen to this show. Renaissance Bank stands ready to help you in your business if you are tired of the mega bank experience. And you know what I'm talking about. If you are not familiar with AI, boy, go do business with a mega bank and they'll get you familiar with it, because that's what they use to keep you from talking to a live person. That's part of the strategy. Nothing wrong with that if they can get away with it. But the problem is, for you and your business, you want something more than that. You want personal service. And that's what Renaissance Bank does. The folks that I refer to Renaissance tell me they're big enough to handle pretty much any need you can throw at them as a business, but they're small enough to deliver their services in a personal way. That's a magic combination. And it's exists right here inside Renaissance Bank. The place to go is the website to start, renaissancebank.com. Renaissance Bank, understanding you, member FDIC. And again, now I want to welcome Sean Lally. Sean is with BizPay Pros. Sean, welcome.
Thanks, John. I appreciate you having me on.
It's great to have you here. Let's talk about you and BizPay Pros. How are you serving folks out there?
Good. Yeah, no, we're helping them out. When you think about the cash flow in a business, we can help them a number of different ways, and that's how we're serving them. We get a lot of clients that come to us that they don't know their payment processor. They have cash flow needs on the lending side. We also have lending solutions, and then we also have spend management solutions. So if you think from the minute it comes in the door to the minute it goes out, that's how we help serve our clients.
Boy, a lot there I want to get to, but before we do that, let's talk about you.
Yeah.
And your background. Tell us about a little bit about your career arc and what got you excited and passionate, because you've been doing this now for two decades,
yeah,
or more in payments processing. What got you excited and passionate about this business?
Yeah, I started 21 years ago. Prior to that, I was in the restaurant space. I grew up busboy in an Italian restaurant and worked my way all the way up to managing partner of a location for a chain in the Carolinas, moved around a little bit. But when I started, that was 21 years ago. I was down in Naples, Florida, living there. Why I moved, I don't know, but I was already there.
A temporary lack of judgment, right?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. But everybody always asks, like, why did you move? And I'm like, I don't know. Yeah. Anyway, what I saw was how people didn't really know a lot about payments. They thought they did. Business owners, they thought they knew about payments. They thought it was really just a commodity. And when really getting into the nuts and the bolts of the setup, the how we can help them, how do they want it to work versus what did somebody just say, hey, here's your solution and take it, right? Mm-hmm. Really getting into that. And so just seeing business owners struggle with it, knowing that I can help them, and knowing that there was a lot of nefarious players, probably less now than there were back then. But when you think about payment processing, banks are very highly regulated. Lenders can be highly regulated. Payment processing is, while there is oversight, it's not as regulated as you think, which anybody can become an independent payment processor. We can start our own LLC or S-Corp tomorrow and just go get into the payment processing business. So because of that, because of the money that can be made in that business, there can be some nefarious players at times. And so just trying to be someone that does it the right way is when helping business owners out in that, when they've sometimes been taken advantage of, that always drove me and it still drives me today.
That I want to get into that more in a second here, yeah. But it strikes me that your background in the restaurant industry could create some passion about this work too, because in the restaurant business, you're dealing with payment processing all day, every day, right? And so every problem that could come up, you see it in a restaurant, right? Yeah. Talk about that background and what you learned.
Yeah. So it's funny because I remember we used to have above every point of sale terminal, we used to have what we called a crash kit. So when the point of sale would go down, we had a box. It was a cardboard box. And in it, we had the old knuckle buster. We called a manual imprinter. People called a knuckle buster. Uh-huh. And we had the slips, the 3-ply slips that you would put, all that in. And then we had a pad and where you could write things down.
By the way, folks, anybody that remembers this is an expert is experienced in payment processing. Yeah. This goes back a ways.
Yeah, no, I've got some experience. Let's just put it that way. But yeah, no, I've been around a little bit, John. So yeah, back then we would do the manual imprints, and nowadays there's technology that will do what's called a store and forward. So it'll run the card, and if your internet's down or something else is down, the communication's down, it'll store the transaction and then forward it once it's back up. Mm. And there's still a little bit of risk in that, but anyway. Yeah, that kind of created a little bit of knowledge, a little bit of passion. And I know, I'm not going to lie, there's a residual income piece to what I do too, right? I was always passionate about, I like the idea of making a residual income. Who doesn't? Right? So those two things drove my passion, my awareness of the industry. And I had friends that they had family members in the industry, had always thought about getting in. And one day I just answered an ad after I was actually selling food to restaurants. So I was in food sales and didn't like the company that bought the company I was with, wasn't mm-hmm. crazy about it. And I decided I was going to go out looking, and I answered an ad for a merchant services, and I signed on with, back then it was First Data, now it's called Fiserv.
Yeah. Yep. And I think it should be said that residual income exists for people like you, maybe not all the players, but people like you, that if there's a problem that comes up, you're going to be there for that.
Yeah.
For that business, right?
Yeah, I've got a vested interest in that. That's when you think about being a more of a local independent, and I can sign business nationwide. I am local here in Alpharetta. That is very important to me. Obviously, from my income standpoint, I don't want to lose any customers, and I can't afford to lose any customers. Yeah, that service level is definitely tied to that, for sure.
Yeah. Okay, so you talked about the nefarious players. So where does the nefariousness come in, if that's a word? Where does it come in?
It could come in a few different ways. One of the ways that I see, and when I first started in this industry, I was oblivious to this too, is in equipment leasing. We used to, at First Data, we used to do a lot of equipment leasing. So being fully transparent, I put people in leases that I didn't really know what I was doing at the time. Right. Later found out and didn't do that anymore. But there are folks that will get put into a lease for a terminal or maybe a point of sale, and they're in that lease or point of sale for 48 months or better sometimes. But what happens is at the end of that lease, it's not like a car loan. They just keep charging them for that terminal unless they remember, oh, my lease is up. They don't remember right. that. And I've seen some leases, I'll never forget, I was out in Colorado at the time. There was a lady who was a bookstore owner, and unfortunately she didn't speak great English. She was from, obviously had a different background than being from the US, but the person that signed her up on her lease for her terminal was charging her $129 a month on a 48 month lease. Now you do the math.
Wow.
You do the math on that. That's over $5,000 right. to pay on a terminal. That's a terminal that you could go out and buy for $200. Not only that, they somehow talked her into a second lease, said they were going to buy back the first lease to upgrade her terminal. They never bought back the first lease. So she was actually in for, it was like almost like $250 a month. And she couldn't get out of that lease. So she was going to end up spending over $10,000 for a piece of equipment that could have cost her a couple hundred bucks. So that is one way. And the fact that it's not as regulated an industry is really what allows some of those things to happen. It enables those things to happen. But what will also happen is you'll get folks that will come in and they'll say, hey, I'm going to give you a real low price up front. But what merchants and business owners don't realize is that in every merchant services contract, somewhere in that 30 pages of fine print, which it's more than a car loan sometimes with merchant service contract. It says that we reserve the right to change pricing at any time. You're not going to get that changed in your contract. But what you want to do is go with somebody that is not going to do that and has a reputation of not doing those things. And that can walk through your door and look you in the face and vice versa. So that's where I would say is there's a lot of good companies out there. I'm not here to bash anybody, but there's still some that there's decisions made in boardrooms on pricing. And I've sat in some of those meetings where, you know, the company says, we've got a portfolio of X thousand clients, right? If we raise it by 10 basis points, for those that don't know what a basis point is, 1/100th of 1%, right? Mm-hmm. And we're going to raise it by 10 basis points, 20 basis points. And we expect the algorithm say that we're going to lose this many clients, right? If we raise it by 20 basis points, we'll lose this many clients, right? And then here's the upside of the revenue. Here's the downside of what we'll lose net. Here's what we're going to gain from that. And so that's what happens in this industry is those portfolios. Mm-hmm. And that is the value of that company is their portfolio. I've sat in a meeting where we decided we're going to raise it X. And I've asked, why are we doing this? And the bottom line that came back was because we need the revenue. We told the street, or we told our shareholders that we're going to make so much, the easiest, and maybe not the easiest, but probably the path of least resistance is to go and raise those rates because we can, because our contracts say we can.
And regardless of what the promise someone on the front line made to the client,
yeah,
they've signed a contract with that processor directly, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
So I think the issue that a lot of business owners have is, how do I know who I'm dealing with? And because the nefarious people, whether they're in payment processing or any other business, they know all the right things to say.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So how do I know that I'm dealing with somebody that is going to treat me right?
The good news is nowadays you've got Google.
That's true.
You've got Google, you've got Yelp, you've got every other review and rating service there is. Mm-hmm. You can do it that way. But I would say just be active in your business community to know those folks. I know you and I are involved in some networking group, things of that nature. Yeah. Ask other business owners. Don't be afraid to ask.
And
because the last thing you want to do is make that wrong move. We all do it as business owners. God, I'm sure I've made millions of mistakes, but that's one that when you think about it, that's taking the money from your client and putting it into your account, right? That's your revenue. That's your cash flow. That's what's going to keep your business alive. You want to make an informed decision on that, right? And sometimes you can't control it because you decided to go with a certain piece of software that's going to help you manage the business. And that piece of software only has one potential processor, right? They're not agnostic when it comes to the processing. You may not have a choice, right, in that case. So you may even want to step back further before you make the decision on that software, that point of sale, if you're in a restaurant or retail. You may want to step back from even that and say, wait a minute, do I want to be pigeonholed into just that one processor? What is that processor like? Because the software may be everything you thought it was, but that payment processing, they may raise the rates on you. There's certain point of sales out there now that they've got their own processing, and it's not really them. My processing is not really me. I wholesale from somebody and resell, just like some of these softwares do, but they make some of those same decisions that I've sat in those rooms and say, hey, we're going to raise our processing rates because we need to or whatever. You just got to be careful with that and decide whether you're okay with that. And it may be 5 basis points, 10 basis points. If you're not doing a ton of volume, might not make a big difference.
All right.
If you're doing a ton of volume, that could be thousands, if not tens of thousands of dollars. Those are all things that you just need to take into consideration when you're picking the software to help you run your business, when you're picking your processor, obviously that stuff all comes into play.
Yeah. And I'm glad you brought that up about software and I don't mind using their names, because like QuickBooks, for example, is pushing their, because they're owned by PayPal basically, or Intuit owns PayPal. It's all the same corporate entity. I don't know who owns who, but it's all the same corporate entity. So they're pushing that hard. Right.
Absolutely.
And so what they're counting on is you opting into that because it's quote unquote easy. And you just hang with it and inertia takes over and you don't compare and you wake up 5 years later and you're paying a whole lot more than you ought to be paying. Is that the game?
You can be.
Yeah.
I'm not going to bash QuickBooks because they've got a decent product.
Yeah.
And I've probably got half a dozen integrations that integrate into QuickBooks from a payment processing standpoint. And most payment processors out there do. We've got some type of solutions that will integrate with QuickBooks. So
that's where I'm going, is that you've got choices.
You do. Yeah.
So you've got choices. And it's important if you're looking at operating software for your business to make sure you look at everything that software does to make sure you've got choices when it gets down to payment processing. This is something business owners ignore sometimes,
Yeah. So they'll see that, oh, okay, if it's payment processing, they'll just take that path of least resistance, right? Yeah. I can just set up with my software. And again, you may be just fine doing that. It may be a good solution and they're not raising rates or they're not playing any games. But what happens a lot of times with some of these processors, all right, since you're using the QuickBooks, I'll use a name too. Stripe is one, right?
Yeah, sure.
Stripe does an amazing job of integrating and with their APIs and everything of enabling software companies to now enable their clients to be able to take payments through the software, right? What will happen with Stripe sometimes is Stripe is one, and I've done a couple posts on my LinkedIn recently about this. Mm-hmm. There are companies out there like Stripe that will automatically approve you without doing the underwriting on the account. And some people may say, what it has to be underwritten? To think about it, most business owners think that money that's being processed through, they think that's your money, right? They think that's my business's money.
Right.
For 6 months, it's really not, in essence, right?
Yeah.
Because the payment processors are giving you a 6 month low interest loan on that money, whatever you're paying on your payment processing is your interest rate. But it's not really your money because for that 6 months, the consumer or whoever the client is has the ability to do what's called a chargeback.
Right.
And if you don't have the cash in your account to cover that chargeback, then the payment processor takes that on as risk.
Right.
That's their risk.
They're out of it.
So they're paying that for you, right? So anyway, that's one way. And what happens a lot of times with these companies that just do an auto approval, they're underwriting it after the fact and they're going back and looking at, okay, what's your high ticket? What's your volume? Where could we get into trouble from a risk standpoint? And sometimes they'll place holds on your funds. And again, it's not necessarily your funds for 6 months.
Think about that.
They're placing holds on those funds because of the risk. They may, what they're doing right now, they're shutting some of these businesses down. So think about if you don't fit into a certain risk profile or that portfolio for that processor, it's got too much risk in it, they may start shutting accounts down that will cause that risk to be higher or cause that risk profile to be higher. They'll shut some of those down in order to lower their risk profile on their portfolio. These are things that can happen. I can't sit here and say that would never happen with any of my accounts, right? Mm-hmm. But what I can say is that being an independent, I've got multiple outlets, multiple resources that I can go to. So, you know, one door closes, maybe another one opens is the way you think about that.
Yeah. I'm glad you mentioned that because you strike me in terms of the way your business is set up, as you've got the virtues of an independent insurance agent does, where an independent insurance agent deals with a lot of different companies and can match you to the best profile.
Yeah.
Yeah. Same thing for you, right? Yeah. Where you can match up a business to the best processor for their type of business, for what they're looking for and their needs are, et cetera.
Yeah. And that's a good way to look at it. You can almost think of me as a broker if you think about it that way. And the reason I chose to do it that way is because not one size fits all. I've worked for companies in the payment space where they're just going to try to sell you what their solution is. And their solution may not be the right solution for your business. So at the end of the day, I want to be able to offer what's the right solution for your business. Think of me almost as your advocate in business for the payment processing, for the lending, for the spend management solutions. That's really how I try to position myself at BizPayPros, is that we're your advocate with the payment processors. Now, I'm also the client of the payment processor because I bring them business. So whereas you've got your 800 number that you've got to call to get a hold of them, I've got my own bat phone, if you will, or 800 number, where I'm bringing them more than just the one account. You're just one account to them. I bring them several.
Yeah.
So
you're in an entire relationship.
I'm in a relationship. And because I'm bringing them my business, they better take care of my clients.
Yeah.
And they do. And I choose to do business with folks that I've known in the industry for sometimes 21 years and that I trust, that I've known for a long time, and that I can call them up. I've got the CEO's cell phone number and I can say, hey, I need some attention on this. It may still be the same answer, but you're going to get that level of service from me when, you know, when you sign on with BizPay Pro. So.
One of the things that you talk about, Sean, is you use terms like cash flow, improving cash flow, and working capital.
Yeah.
Your implication there is there's more to it than just payment processing in terms of the way you serve your clients. Talk about that.
Yeah. So on the payment processing side, they may have a really great solution, or again, I may not be able to help them because they love their software and it's proprietary, right? Mm-hmm. And I'll be able to help that way. But I've run into a lot of businesses lately that they're strapped for cash. Home services is a big one too. Like what happens a lot of times there is they've got a lot of their accounts receivable tied up in insurance payments, or maybe the insurance company's paying the homeowner and they're waiting for the homeowner to pay them, those types of things. And they need working capital. They need money to be able to take that next job,
sure.
to be able to continue on in business. They can't sit there and wait for all their accounts receivable to come in before they take the next job. They might be waiting a couple months sometimes. Or maybe there's a really big job they want to take and they can't necessarily do it because they've got to pay their supplier. They've got to pay their crew. They've got to pay whoever it is. And so we offer them the ability to get some quick working capital through some of our lending solutions. Now, some of them can get expensive, right? If they can't go get a loan anywhere else, or that maybe they don't have the perfect lending profile, whatever it is, it could get a little more expensive. But we do have traditional lending solutions as well, SBA, lines of credit, things of that nature. Really, again, just sitting down with that business owner and say, hey, tell me everything that's going on with your cash flow, with your business. Let me see if I can help. And if I don't have the solution in-house, like I said earlier, I do a lot of networking, a lot of folks in the area.
Yep.
If I don't have a solution, I'm sure I know somebody that does. And I try to align myself with folks that are in the community, that are local, that they're doing business the same way I am, that we've got some of the similar business philosophies and things of that nature. So, yeah, it's not just about the payment processing always.
Yeah, and this is where a consultation comes in, right?
I mean, yeah.
So that you understand a business owner's payment setup, their cash flow needs, how they get paid, yep, what they have to pay. So that's where having someone that you can talk to that can understand all that and then recommend the best solution. Because if you get caught in a contract where it doesn't take into all that into account, then you can really get behind the eight ball.
Yeah. And here's what I would also say is that, unlike, and in all respect to banks, obviously we're sitting in one right now, but a bank is going to want your entire relationship for the most part. A bank's going to try and go after all your accounts. I don't necessarily always do that. Sure, I would love to, but if somebody comes to me, I may just have a lending solution. I may just have payment processing. I'm not going to say you've got to, now that I set you up on that line of credit or that loan, now you've got to give me your merchant account. I'll take a look at it. If we can help you out there, great. It's not a quid pro quo situation. That's where again, I'm being independent. I'm a little bit different. And I work with some bankers. Some bankers, they can't always get the loan done for whatever reason. And I'll go to the bankers and I'll say, look, if you can't get that loan done, I might be able to, and you can keep the rest of the relationship. I'll honor the source and
right,
where it came from. Whereas if they let them go, it may go to another bank and lose the whole relationship altogether. So yeah, so we just try to figure out what is the right solution. We may not be able to help directly, but again, that network that I have locally, I know somebody that does.
Sure.
I know somebody that can help them out.
So for those, and I mentioned inertia,
yeah,
earlier, for those business owners that have let inertia take over, what do you recommend? Because I think sometimes they think it's just a pain in the what to make a change. And that makes them reluctant.
Yeah.
And it's the not broke, don't fix it kind of thing. So what advice do you give them?
That's funny. I got a book years ago and it says, change is great, you go first. That was the title of the book.
I like that. Yeah.
Change, it can be painful. Right. We try to make it the least amount of painful as possible. Is there going to be some disruption? Yeah, I'm working with a coffee shop right now. They're changing out their entire point of sale. And there's pain. You're going to have employees that are going to sit there and say, why did we switch to this point of sale? One was just fine. Now I got to learn something new. But sometimes you have to experience that pain in order to grow. And right. That's just true in life. That's not just in business. That's true no matter what. There may be some pain, but we'll try to make it least painful as possible. And it's not painful to look at it. Looking at it doesn't hurt, right? Yeah, just right. Taking that first step of saying, maybe we should see what our options are. But what I find is a lot of times that the pain of that inertia, the pain of staying the course has now become more painful than the pain of actually switching, changing.
Yeah.
More often than not, that's when they come to us, is when that pain is greater than the pain of actually changing over. But maybe they should have looked at it that much sooner. That would be my advice, is if you got just a little bit of a thorn and it's just starting to tickle, or a little scratchy throat, it's just starting to tickle, check that out. Don't let it get really bad. Let's take a look at it before it gets really bad. And then you have to, and then it could be really painful, right? And you maybe you're in a situation that you didn't realize you were in, and it just becomes that much more painful, right? And
so what I've heard here, Sean, is that if I'm having a tickle in the proverbial business throat, then I need to be in touch with you. What I've also heard is if I'm having cash flow issues that relate to payments, I need to be in touch. What are some other symptoms that are going on in my business that make me think I need to call Sean?
So one that I don't hit on as much is spend management. So we do have a spend management solution.
Does that mean?
So basically it works as a business checking account, but we're not a bank. It is fully FDIC insured. It's backed by Sutton Bank, same bank to back Square. So it's a totally legitimate product. But what it does is, it, number one, it gives you cash back on both your balance and your spend, which not a lot of business checking accounts do. And it's fully fee-free, right? So we don't charge any monthly fees, any fees to pay your vendors with ACH, anything like that. But the winner in the solution is that you can issue virtual cards, physical cards to anybody within your organization, right? And that's at your control. That's at your fingertips. That's not you having to call up a card issuer and saying, hey, I need another card, right? Mm-hmm. You can do all that in-house. Mm-hmm. So your CFO, your controller, your account for the company, they can do that. But what's great about it is you can restrict the dollar amount. You can restrict, how much they can spend in one transaction. You can restrict where they spend that card. Right. If you're a landscaper and you only want them spending that money at a landscaping supply company, you can restrict all other accounts. Or if you want to use it as a gas card, you can restrict it everywhere else other than a gas station.
Right.
And again, you can say one transaction can only go up to $100 because you don't want anybody spending more than $100 on gas one shot. It's just another tool in the toolbox to be able to rein in some of that spending. So if you've got a spending problem, and what's really great about it is you can open as many accounts as you want. And again, they're fee free. Mm. Like it doesn't cost you anything to have that account. So if you want to use it as your budgetary watchdog for each different line item on your budget, you could do that too.
Wow. Right? Interesting.
You can do those things, and you can even issue a card that's a project-based card. Like you could say, we've got a project that we've budgeted out $10,000. This card is for that project. Once it hits the 10, that card's cut off. So there's a lot of things that can help business owners with that cash flow, manage it, and just have a little bit more insight into what's going on in their spending.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. A lot to think about, folks. So you've mentioned a couple.
Yeah.
I think it would be great, though, if you could share maybe another success story that helps illustrate the great work you do.
Yeah. So I've got a couple, okay. But I'll share one is a medical practice that I work with recently. They were referred to me by their IT guy, right, mm-hmm. who I network with as well. And they just had a payment processing terminal on the counter. And what the practice manager was doing was she was taking the transactions from that account and then having to reconcile them with their practice management software. They have a software that helps them run the rest of the practice. So they brought me in and said, we want to switch over to you. And I actually have a solution that integrates with that practice management software. And so by being able to do that reconciling that she was doing every day, she no longer has to do that anymore because our terminal now is fully integrated into that practice management software. And we are actually saving her. The IT guy told me, they came back and said, we're saving her 2 to 3 hours a day. That's not a week. That's a day in just reconciling the transactions back to that software. When you think about it, a lot of people will ask me, can you save me money? They think of payment processing as very much a commodity or very transactional.
Right.
This case shows that it's way more than that, right? That we can be way more than that. If you want me to just come in and save you money, I can probably do that. Mm-hmm. Like more likely than not. I don't know if it's going to be a lot. I don't know if it's going to be a little. Let's have that conversation. But let's talk about how else can we help you out, be more efficient in your business? Can we integrate with the software that you're using? Maybe you were told one payment processor could integrate with that software, but there may be multiple. Just knowing that you have some of those options out there. And maybe that software is not your best solution. Maybe we've got others. We've got other softwares that we can sell too, or that we can position in order to help you integrate with things like the QuickBooks of the world and other softwares. That's a success story that when he told me that, I just felt like, wow, I'm saving this lady 2 to 3 hours a day.
That's unbelievable.
Right?
Yeah.
Can she now be at home at night with her family and eat mm-hmm. dinner or what? And I found out, no, they found something else for her to do. But that just made me feel like, wow, that's really why I'm doing what I'm doing. It's not necessarily to save money. Yeah, that's part of it. But am I saving somebody time? Am I getting them home at night so they could spend time with their family or maybe go take that yoga class at night, whatever it is. That's what makes you feel good about what you do.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Sean Lally, folks, BizPay Pros is his company. Sean, this has been fantastic. I can't imagine there are some folks hearing what you've had to say that wouldn't want to be in touch. So let's tell them how they can do that.
Yeah, John. No, it's very simple. I'm local here in Alpharetta. I like to say I have an Alpharetta address, but I have Forsyth taxes. So I'm in the southern tip of Forsyth County, but it's an Alpharetta address. But my business is home-based. Best way to get a hold of me is through my office line at 678-782-8575. Again, that's 678-782-8575. Or it's S Lally. That's S-L-A-L-L-Y at bizpaypros.net. BizPayPros.net.
Sean Lally with BizPay Pros. Thank you for coming in and sharing your insights. It's been great.
Yeah, thank you for having me, John. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, thank you. Hey, folks, just a couple of quick things before we let you go for today. Here is a headline you do not want to be the subject of. Local business pays thousands in ransom after cyber attack. No. You don't want to be that business, particularly if you're a law firm, medical practice, or a manufacturer, and you are safeguarding not just your data, but your client's data. And what that means is you're safeguarding your reputation. Yeah, and there's some compliance issues there along the way, too. If you're HIPAA, you have to be HIPAA compliant and so forth. There's a lot at stake here, and that's where Beyond Computer Solutions comes in. They help organizations like yours stay out of the news and in business with managed IT and cybersecurity services designed for you. It all starts with a complimentary security assessment. If you haven't had a security assessment in a while, or particularly if you don't know what one is, you need to be in touch. BeyondCS.com is where to start. Chris Knowles and his team are fantastic. They do great work. They keep us cyber safe here at North Fulton Business Radio. So I know all about what they do, and they're fantastic. So be in touch. I think you'll be glad you did. Also, if you've got stinking thinking, a mindset problem that's affecting your positioning, how you think about your value, and that translates into weak business development and even weaker pricing, I've got a book for you that I've written. It's called The Generosity Mindset, A Journey to Business Success by Raising Your Confidence, Value, and Prices. And no, generosity is not about giving everything away. It's about serving clients more meaningfully so that you can be regarded as a professional of value that is chosen. The book is available at where all books are sold, but you can find some of those ideas at thegenerositymindset.com. And if you're in the Alpharetta area and want a signed copy of the book, you can go to the Barnes & Noble over on North Point Parkway, and they'll be glad to help you out. Also, if you're listening to this show and you are right now by definition, you're also a supporter of North Fulton Business Radio. And I just want to thank you. I want to thank you for your support because you have kept us going for here almost 9.5 years, over 9.5 years of North Fulton Business Radio. And we're going to hit show number 1,000 sometime in 2026. And it's only because of you, because you support us in so many different ways. And I'm grateful for that support because you help us live into our mission to be the voice of business in the North Fulton region and beyond. So for my guest, Sean Lally, I'm John Ray. Join us next time here on North Fulton Business Radio.